Good morning, everyone. We're glad that you have chosen to come study with us today. I know a lot of us work full-time, and Saturday is a time to catch up on sleep, or at least it is for me. But we're happy you've made a choice to be here. In these series of Bible studies, they are to encourage and strengthen us as Christian women. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves by having these studies, and we want to give God all the glory. We simply want to study God's Word together, and hopefully we will be built up by having the studies. And my prayer is that all that is done today is in accordance to God's will. Ladies, I would like to talk to you about the subject of nakedness. This is a subject that preachers and teachers do often talk about, but I think preachers feel like sometimes this just goes in one ear and out the other. A preacher's wife told me one time that her husband, when he talked on the subject of modest apparel, that it was just ignored. She said she didn't know why, except that some women just didn't take it seriously. I understand women that are not Christians not taking this seriously, but if you are a child of God and you feel your heart is right with God, ladies, this is a serious matter. And I hope you do open your minds and your heart and look into your hearts. You know, the need for clothing is closely connected with a man acquiring the knowledge of good and evil. In Genesis 2:25, that's the first introduction of the association between nakedness and shame. It says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." This was a state of absolute innocence. Then after the sin was committed in the garden, Genesis 3:7 and 8 says, "The eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings," or aprons, as the King James Version says. "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." Adam knew he was still naked. It was insufficient covering in God's presence. The Hebrew word for the garment or apron means a garment that covers the midsection of the body tied about the waist. The same word is translated in other passages as a girdle or a belt. Adam and Eve's attempt at clothing was unsuccessful because they still considered themselves naked wearing the fig leaf garment. When God visited them in the garden, they hid themselves because they were naked. After God issued the punishments to Adam and Eve for their sin, he took animal skins and made tunics for the man and the woman. And that's Genesis 3:21. The Hebrew word for tunic describes a shirt or a long coat that hangs on the shoulders and reaches to the knees. God viewed them as insufficiently clothed. Hence, he clothed them, hiding their nakedness. Ladies, God just told us in this passage what he considers modest or not naked. Hebrews 3:11 says, "And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?'" God connects their knowledge of nakedness with sin. Why did Adam and Eve consider themselves to be naked with the fig leaf garment? Nakedness is the exposure of the sexual organs. Any clothing that allows a view of these areas is considered the same as being naked. In Job 22:6, the Bible talks about stripping the naked of their clothing. In other words, it is possible to be naked and clothed at the same time. The phrasing in Job refers to a person who is thinly clad, wearing clothing whose material is transparent, leaving people with no doubts about what exists underneath their clothing. A person can also be naked by wearing clothing that does not completely cover the genitals in all situations or positions. So what if a lady says, "Well, I'm covered as long as I don't bend over, or as long as I don't climb the stairs, or as long as I don't reach over my head, or as long as I don't sit sit down, I'll be fine. Exodus 20:26 refutes this thought. It says, nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed on it. So again, we have to be covered in all situations and all positions we might be in. Adam and Eve knew they were naked and were ashamed and afraid. It seems like today some of us ladies don't really know when we're considered naked. A lady's dress reveals what is in or lacking in a lady's heart. This trend toward nakedness is a rebellion against God. You know, most Christian ladies will not acknowledge nudity as acceptable, but it seems that we want to get just as close as we can without being restricted by shame. Why? Why do we do this? It's because of the love of the world or worldliness. We want the world to think we have pretty legs or pretty breasts. The world says, if you've got it, flaunt it. Ladies, I have seen legs that I thought were pretty and smooth and tan. I don't think we as ladies see the difference in how we look at legs and how men look at legs or any other part of the body for that matter. Men are made different than we are in their perception. Maybe this is why women don't really see this as a sin. We have to remember this and cover ourselves. We don't want to be guilty of causing a man to lust after us. You know, a man, a member of the church, told me one time that men see lots of skirts above the knees and beyond while they're waiting on the Lord's table. And he is a very upright and righteous man. And he said sometimes it's hard to focus on the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection because of the worldliness that's brought into the assembly. We should be ashamed. You know, I have boys and I have girls, and it makes me very disappointed when I see teenage girls or even young women expose themselves tempting my son when he's trying so hard to be a man of God. Again, especially when it is a Christian woman in the assembly. It has really made me teach this to my daughters. Young women, if you're not married, my brother shared with me one time that if you fish on the bottom, you're going to catch bottom feeders. And if you fish with stink bait, you will catch fish that like the taste of stink bait. So if your bait is the lust of the flesh, you will catch a lustful man. No one wants a man that will lust after sinful women. You want a man who wants only you and will actively fight any feelings he might have to be worldly. And women, the ones that are married, you should be striving to be a woman after God's heart. You should be an honor to your husbands. How can your husband be an elder or a deacon of a local assembly if your dress disqualifies him? You have to be a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 describes her in detail. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. We want to help our husbands qualify for those offices, not disqualify him. You know, I haven't always dressed modestly. When I was younger, I didn't care or I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And that is just flat scary that I felt that way. And if Jesus would have come back during that time, I would have lost my soul. And when I teach the little kids Bible class here, and if they're acting up or not listening, or if they're not focusing on the Bible study, I pull out an empty chair and I tell them that we're going to act like Jesus is sitting there today. I then explain that he really is in our class watching us. And I'm sure the girls here remember me doing that. Well, if you're wondering if your clothing is too short or too low cut or too revealing in any way, just act like Jesus is sitting right next to you. If you are shameful in any way, it is not modest and therefore inappropriate. If you would not be ashamed for him to be sitting right next to you, you are most likely dressed modestly. Is what you have on right now appropriate? It is a shame and a sin to be dressed immodestly anywhere, but to come into the Lord's assembly to worship that way scares me to death. We really have to look at ourselves. Is our heart right with if our heart is right with God, then we won't even push the envelope on borderline iffy dress. We will automatically dress the way God views modesty. Let's change our hearts so that our outward appearance reflects a godly woman. 1 Timothy 2:8 through 10 says, "Therefore I desire that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." I have heard women say, "It's my body and I'll dress however I want." We are to glorify God in our body, and we are to profess godliness. Our body and our spirits are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Is your dress worth losing your soul? I don't want to hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Let's be known for women professing godliness with good works. We have to teach our daughters how important this subject is. It is serious. Sin is serious. There was a college student that was seen in a different town, and she was wearing something that she knew her mom and dad wouldn't approve of. More importantly, God wouldn't approve of it. Someone said it was the parents' fault for being too strict. The parents made her dress modestly, and now she wants to experience that piece of freedom. Have you ever heard the statement that the parents were too strict? The parents may have been inconsistent, or the child may have been rebellious, but too strict? I don't think so. It is important that we understand that God demands parents to be strict. God commands that children obey their parents, Ephesians 6:1, and honor their parents, Ephesians 6:2. Fathers are commanded to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. That requires strictness and discipline. It requires what that parent wants his child to be morally and spiritually. God demands parents to be strict. The book of Proverbs is full of that. I'll give you a few if you want to write them down. Proverbs 13, 24, Proverbs 19, 18, Proverbs 22, 6, Proverbs 23, 13, and 14, and Proverbs 29, 15, and 17. If you allow your girls to dress immodestly when they live at home, how can you expect them to change when they grow up and move out? More importantly, are your daughters seeing your dress being what God expects? What example are you setting for your daughters and for other young girls? Again, let's profess godliness. Let's be what God wants us to be. You may say, "I am being what God wants me to be." But if your dress is questionable, what does that really tell others about where your heart is? Is your heart right with God? Let's treat this like a sin, because it is, and correct it. Let's be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh or worldly pleasures. You know, I sent my girls a text this week, and I do this often just to remind them of who they are. But it said, "Make it a great day and be led by the Spirit. Love you." I want to constantly remind them of what God wants us to be. Sometimes we simply just need to be reminded. And remember, He is sitting right next to you.